I just love the name Dane and Alden so much, and it's your guys' names, but was there ever any alternative names that you were thinking of perhaps calling your band?
Well, in the pandemic, we used to like play in public parks with like a power generator and just play like rock covers. And our name in that era was Alobar, after this book, Jitterbug Perfume.
Yeah, great book, Jitterbug Perfume by Tom Robbins. And Alobar is like this king in a civilization where they kill their king as soon as he has one like sign of old age. So if they see a gray hair on him, or if he stops, you know, doing all of his kingly duties, they kill him. So he like flees his kingdom. So that was our first band name.
That was our inspo. And he's really into beats, right?
Yeah, he loves beats. Like
like beats you eat, or like beats you play?
Beetroot, yeah, beats you eat.
Damn, that's tight, beats you eat. One of the things I love most about you guys is, like, you know, a lot of bands, they talk about having a family relationship, but you're literally brothers.
Yeah.
And you've talked a lot about your influences. I've watched a lot of your interviews, and everyone always asks about your influences, but I was wondering if there's a song or band that maybe Dana showed you, Alden, or you showed Dana, that you guys remember being like, man, my brother's kind of cool.
I mean, definitely for me, it was like Alden showing me Alex G. I'd never listened to Alex G, and I'm really obsessed now. So Alden's always showing me cool stuff.
I feel like you showed me like Weather Report.
Yeah,
Dana would get Weather Report CDs and like Pharrell Sanders CDs from the public library. And I feel then that like seeped into my music taste.
Yeah. Man. Usually Alden's interest generally are a little more in like the indie world.
Yeah.
Kind of, and I'm kind of more in like jazz and like film scores worlds. So we kind of like dip our toes in each other's like musical interests.
Oh, I'm also gonna say Cleo Soul. Dana showed me Cleo Soul and Salt.
And Salt's so amazing. I'm just trying to see them live at some point when they play.
Yeah.
It makes so much sense because you guys have such an eclectic sound. Like you've been described as lo-fi indie jazz, but there's so much that goes into you. Like, it's so eclectic. Jazz for indie kids is one of the things too, but some of these tracks have an R&B tinge to them. It's getting to the point now when I describe your music to people, I just go, it's just good, just listen to it. I'm like, you know, just go and listen to it and you'll form your own opinions. But how do you guys introduce your music to people?
I think it's always been a struggle for us too, because like I like saying the word jazz, because like we have so much jazz influence and we were like jazz band dorks. But also, like, I think when we say jazz, people expect something else than what we play. So I think we're a little bit in that world, and then I think we have obviously a foot in like another world, which is maybe like indie and like R&B. I mean, we were hanging with Giles Peterson, and he described us as DIY jazz.
Yeah, so I think we were baptized as DIY jazz. That might be the official final name for it.
We got to get a copyright on that DIY jazz. I like that a lot. That's so good.
In general, we really like admire and have always loved bands that are kind of like outside of genre. Like Stereolab is one of them that comes to mind. Like, there's like, I think people have a hard time describing their sound. So we always love bands that have their own sound, and I think that's what we're looking for in ourselves.
Man, it's beautiful. But I guess on that jazz note too, you're really a part of this jazz resurgence in younger people. Like, quiet music for young people, 22 and 23. I feel like a lot of my friends were listening to that record, and then that led them on to other things too. But you've talked about how at your shows, people would come because of the comedy and be surprised by the jazz, like a bit of a bait and switch almost. Have you been noticing that people are like almost coming now, it's the music first and then the comedy?
I think it's definitely a mix of like some comedy fans like show up expecting it just to kind of be like a joke, and then they're like, damn, this is like pretty cool. And then I feel like some music fans show up kind of expecting, I don't know, like a serious jazz show, and then there's like some comedy and some bits happening on stage and like some unexpected twists. So I feel like everyone's a little bit surprised. But also I've noticed there's a tendency for sometimes like teenagers to pull up with their parents. And I think the parents kind of are expecting like a TikTok music show. And then they're like, the parents at the end kind of want photos. They're like, I grew up on music like this.
Yeah, that's the best feeling, is when the parents unexpectedly love it.
Man, you get an old dad nodding along to your tracks, you know it's good.
Exactly.
This sounds like Steely Dan, man.
I love it so much. I guess one of my favorite things about you guys as a group too is you've grown what feels, it's almost like an oxymoron, but like it's an organic online presence and community where people like have found you online and grow to love you and become part of your community too. And I guess I wanted to ask a question about marketing. Because of what you've done yourselves, you almost don't have to be within the strict structures of a label. Is that kind of refreshing and something that you guys thought about, like you wanted to market yourself?
I think we just live in an age now where even if you have a label deal, you know, like so much of the onus is on you as the artist to go out and just connect with your fans. So I think, like, you know, Alden's really way better at that than me, but he's just, you know, I think been really good at like drawing in fans and like being really authentic in himself. And I've learned that from him, of just like through being authentically yourself and confident in that and inviting people in to like share in that with your music. Like, I don't know, people just kind of fall in love with it.
So. Yeah, I feel like we've learned that we don't have to be like cool, that we can kind of just be like unapologetically dorky and like people show up
unapologetically dorky and making great music. And yeah. Above all else, like, there's a steep reverence that you guys have for jazz. Like, I saw an interview, Dana, and you said that you have the utmost respect for the jazz tradition, and you kind of cited Coltrane as one of your influences and someone you look to. And you can really feel it on Speedo. Like, there's so many beautiful instrumental tracks. Maybe this is somewhere that Sharif can jump into. In the creation of the record, how much of it was just jamming, and then you're like, that's a good idea?
And the guys came in with pretty fully formed ideas at first, and very strong melodies, and the rest, just the melodies informed everything, you know. And during the recording process, which took about 2 weeks, we're just on the same wavelength. We never spent time together in the studio. And so I'd say it was less jamming than just keeping things free flowing, you know, and just, without questioning our decisions too much. And there was a sense of urgency in what we did, but with self-imposed deadlines. There was nobody wagging a finger at us. So yeah, it was beautiful.
The last thing I would add to like the jamming is there's a couple tracks on the album, like Rick Pablo and Layla, and Melange, and Lisbon in the Rain too. So maybe there's like a quarter of the album.
Obsidian
too, maybe 5 or 6 tracks that just came out completely in the moment. Layla was the first song that we played when we got in jet lagged off of Red Eyes. The first thing we played was Sharif.
I like don't remember recording.
Yeah, we like came back to it like a week later, and we were like, well, we played that? So there's a portion of it that's jammed, but also there was the other tracks that we brought in with very clear melodies. Like, Sharif has such a strong intuition and kind of furious workflow with the way he works, where like there are so many melodies that you'll hear in there that I didn't write at all, that like I had a bass structure for the song and a bass melody and chords. But then Sharif, you'll hear all these different lines come in and out that, like, I don't even know how he thought of them. He just, like, summons them. So that was something that I was just so excited about, was just seeing my songs that come to life with his sound. So that was a really special thing.
Well, I didn't know you're being very flattering here, man, but... you know, and there's the jamming element, because one could jam for days, right? And you end up with hours of music that will just end up in a drawer. I was telling the boys a couple days ago that there's also the quality of, okay, having these jams, but quickly taking a decision, okay, this is crap. We can make something with those a couple of minutes, insert 30 seconds from there. Mm-hmm. And usually it's a process that takes a bit of time. But the lads just in a couple of days had a very clear idea, and this is akin to what Theo Macedo did with Miles Davis, you know, who was producing and piecing things together. And yeah, just the fact that you had perspective on your own spontaneous creation so quickly I was really impressed. So it was an honor to witness this.
Man, it sounds like such a gorgeous collaboration. I guess I wanted to talk about summer aspects and warmth, because in an interview, Alden, you talked about how TV Girl's Summer's Over is like one of your favorite summer tracks. And that's how I feel about a lot of the songs on Speedo. Like, there's so many warm influences in there. Like, there's a little bit of Milton Nascimento and Fishman's Dream. I'm like, there's a little bit of Brazilian tinge in there. It's gorgeous. Is that something you guys wanted to really put into the record? Is that warmth and that summer feeling?
Yeah, I feel like my favorite music, I would say most of my favorite music feels like summer. Like, I think we try to have like a warm, lush sound. And I think, I mean, Brazil is a big influence. And like film music is a big influence, like Italian music. And I feel like both of those sounds are kind of like summer lush sounds.
Yeah, definitely. Like, I think about the beach scene in City of God, where he like gets the joint to smoke with the girl he has a massive crush on the beach, and then they have like two puffs of the joint and a kiss, and then they get like ambushed by a bunch of little kids who steal their joint, and everything ends. But it's like a moment where things are perfect on the beach. I think about getting that feeling with the song.
It's funny that you guys mentioned Layla, because I didn't want to talk about Layla. That has a little bit of vocals from Layla Khalid, the Palestinian activist.
Yeah. Yes. Featuring Layla Khalid. She's one of our big inspirations. Tong Layla features snippets of an interview that I found with her. I listened to a lot of her interviews over the past 2 years, and those words that in this one video from, I think, her visit to somewhere in Southeast Asia, I forget exactly where, her words in that interview were really touching to me during these times, especially. Layla has been a very big inspiration to us, especially with, you know, wanting our music to be a force for political change. We want to see a free Palestine in our lifetime, so.
This visit showed me, that gave me myself as a person more strength to continue, because we are not alone in the struggle. We are having other people supporting us, extending their solidarity to us.
And alongside that, you open with Norm, which is like this gorgeous, starts with piano, kind of track about Norm Finkelstein too. So activism is all throughout the album.
I mean, we've tried to keep that as like a consistent thread tying the albums together. The last album had Popular Front, which was a nod to Ghassan Kanafani of the PFLP, and then also Paper Tiger. Just trying to continue that, and you know, it's one of the main reasons that we make music is to make political music that inspires people to fight for change. So,
Dana, one time you talked about the strength of your music is in its performance, and there's so much of you guys performing on the internet live. You did your KEXP session recently. You've done elevator music, soft jazz in the living room. Do you guys have a favorite kind of live performance that you've done that's on YouTube?
I think I would have to say like the one we did in this living room.
Yeah, the living room one was cool.
It was just like really spontaneous, just like got a friend to come over with some mics, and our friend Weston shot it, and it was really just like us hanging out in the living room playing. It felt really like organic and felt like us.
Beautiful.
We made that, and I was like, this is kind of, sometimes I'm hypercritical in the moment, I'm like, this is kind of like dog crap. And then, I don't know, I watched it like a month later, I'm like, damn, this is pretty good. I was like, very proud of it.
Man, I love it so much. I'll be playing it when I'm Sunday cleaning.
It's just long enough for a good cleaning session.
So good. I did want to talk about, I guess, listening environment too. And it's a question I ask a lot of artists. When you picture people getting their hands on it, or on release day pressing play on it, what do you see as like the perfect listening environment?
For me, it's like pour over coffee in the morning. Speakers are blasting.
What do you say? I'd say I start pretty much every day by making myself a pour over coffee, just like all, and putting on a record in my living room, and I just sit and drink the coffee, and I don't let myself do anything until the record's done. So I think that's a great way. But also, when we were making this album, and during past albums, I've liked to like imagine like our friends and family around the world like listening to it while they're cooking dinner. Because yeah, that's one of the things that makes me the happiest after releasing an album is getting texts from like friends and family saying we just listened to it while we cooked dinner. Yeah, that makes me really happy.
It's such good cooking dinner music. I'm so happy because that's what I'm going to be doing with Speedo. I did want to ask you about the record. Do you guys have a particular favorite? The three of you? Is there one song, I guess, that you you're like, oh, that's the baby?
I'm curious what yours is.
No. Not yet. You can't, I mean, they changes all the time, but none.
Do what about right now? Right now.
Layla, I really did. Just because you know, because he was so spontaneous, he was on the moment. No, no, but they're all bangers. I know I'm very partial. Hard to choose, man.
I'm gonna say Lisbon and Rain, because that started. It's almost like a classical, like etude, and then we added like a fretless bass line, basically like a fretless bass solo that Sharif played, and then like a bunch of just like wacky like synthesizers, and then. It was pouring rain like almost every day in Lisbon, and I ran out onto the patio and got a sample of the rain, so you can kind of hear it in the background. So that song just kind of like, happened. I'm like, I don't really know how this became this, but I'm just glad that it happened.
And by the way, as a producer, whenever a musician usually comes with an iPhone saying I just recorded the rain, in 99% of the cases, it's absolutely crap. Actually, man, this is the perfect image.
No, I'm pretty proud of my voice memos. I think voice memos can go long.
Spell out. Yeah.
I love that.
I would have to say mine is Super Beaver Fold Me Love Song. Yeah, that was a really special one for me, and I like carefully crafted it like over a couple months, like figuring out how the sections fit together, and yeah, it really like kept growing into something bigger and bigger that you know, makes the heart swell.
Man, so true. And we don't know what a beaver moon is down here in New Zealand, but when I researched, I was like, that's kind of cool. That's very cool.
You don't have beaver moons?
We don't have beavers. We got kiwi. Oh. You guys seen kiwi before?
Not in person.
Not in person. One day. I actually did want to talk about that. When are you guys going to come down to the Pacific and play a show for us?
I'm going to have you talk to our agent.
Yeah, I think we've just done our third US tour, and we're about to embark on our first like full EU tour next week. So I think really next year will be the year to start branching out to other countries, bringing them around the world.
And that would be so awesome. We'd love to have you. I guess I did want to finish up. You guys, all the way from Eugene, Oregon, now getting interviewed in a country that's like on the other side of the world. How does it feel to see how your music's grown from 2023 and reached such a global audience?
For me, it's pretty surreal that like anyone listens to our music. I'm almost just like, I don't know if I have imposter syndrome, but just like whenever I meet someone that says like I like your music, I'm just like a little bit shocked, and I'm just like deeply honored.
Yeah, I think for us it started really as like such a personal thing just between the two of us. Like after high school, Alden and I were like living apart for 5 or 6 years, so it really began as like an excuse for me to like stay in touch with my brother, because I like missed him. So I'd like write a bass line or like a song as an excuse to like send it to him, and or an excuse to like talk to him and catch up. So the whole project really just started as like something that we shared together to like keep us close, even with how crazy life can get. So it's really special now to see just like it being shared with other people and other people loving it just as much as we love it. And we really like are so grateful for the support we've gotten from everyone everywhere. Like, this is a dream we've had our whole lives to do this together. So people are really making it possible for us.
Before the fame and all the glory, I need a story. but they don't know you like I.